The first reading is a reading from Psalms number 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading is from Jude, chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A gentle breeze cooled by the mountain snow blows past my face. I hear the sound of a small brook muffled by the snow, and then far, far below me, the stillness of the mountains is interrupted by the sound of a jet boat motor. I open my eyes and look down over the river delta below, the small mountain town nestled between lake and hilly slopes. Snow-covered mountain ranges surround me on every side, with forested river valleys bending away into the distance. I drink in the beauty, savor the peace of nature in an environment that I know at times can be menacing and stormy. But today it is peaceful, and so I am still too, my heart turning to prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Here among the mountains, I sense something of your majesty. Here I am reminded that your creation reveals your glory. Here I feel awe and yet also closeness before the maker and sustainer of the universe. And here the love which you pour into those who come to you is felt. Here I remember your gracious care, your love towards us humans, your goodness throughout the years. Here I lift my prayer in adoration. There is no petition in my prayers, not even thankfulness for events or people. No, there is just praise and wonder at our God. Well, I hope that you've all experienced times of prayer when all you did was to marvel at God's goodness and splendor. You may have been at home wrapped up before a fire, or in the presence of many others when you celebrated, or even after you agonized over a loss. You may have been alone together with others. You have may have been in church, at home, in nature, or any other place. But those prayers of adoration are part of our relationship with God. Now, in the last few weeks this month, we have considered prayer, and as part of that today, I want to look at prayer of adoration. In the Lord's Prayer, it is there. We begin with, "Hallowed be your name," and we end with, "For yours is the glory and the power forever and ever." But in between there's also prayers of petitions in the Lord's Prayer. And often a prayer of adoration is part of our overall prayers. It is part of pouring our concerns out to God. And as part of that, we also give God praise and bask in God's goodness. Now, there are times when we are tempted to restrict worship to Sunday, possibly just to the singing part of the service. But adoration of God can be woven throughout our day, and it can particularly be in our prayers. Now, the prayer book of the Bible, the Psalms, this contains frequent passages that just focus on praising God, on proclaiming God's goodness and dwelling in the beauty of God. In Psalm 8, the psalm that we read today, that's also very clearly so. And when we read the psalm, we can even imagine the situation as this prayer is lifted to God. Now, the psalm is attributed to David, so we can imagine him lifting his eyes to the night sky and being lost in wonder. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" David considers the vastness of the universe and sees God reflected in it. Through it, he feels small, insignificant even, but yet he knows that God loves humans and has experienced God's goodness himself. It's this juxtaposition of the vastness of creation and God's care for us individually which brings David to a place of adoration. How great is our God? This basking in God's glory not only brings David, but also us, to the realization of the worth of humans. When we feel inadequate, when life's perils thick confound us, as the hymn puts it, then through worship and adoration, we can enter a different reality, a heavenly perspective. Prayer of adoration lifts us from the humdrum of life to a different level, so that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, as a different hymn puts it. But the things of earth will also make sense in a way they cannot if we do not have the eternal perspective. Through prayer of adoration, we can see our place in the world, both our insignificance and also our own great value. Now, I've often heard critics of Christianity say that the God Christians proclaim is narcissistic, that he requires humans' praise to satisfy him. Isn't that like one of the many tyrants who require constant adulation? Doesn't human adoration of God crush the human sense of responsibility and self-worth? Why does God's ego need to be bolstered by human praise? Now, I would respond that God does not, in a sense, require human adoration, and rather that the possibility to worship God is a gift, because God alone is truly to be adored and praised. As humans, we need to adore someone or something. And when we worship God, we bask in God's goodness. We are hardwired, so to say, for adoration. But when we do not worship God, humans give their adoration to some replacement, and that makes it dangerous. Maybe we adore a person, for example, a lover, or more dangerously, a ruler or a tyrant, or we adore our country or state or tribe or organization. Maybe we adore an ideology or a sport, or even nature itself. Now, even among Christians, adoration can be misdirected to a particular teacher or to the church itself. whenever we bring our praise and loyalty to anyone or anything other than God, we miss the point and we run the danger of being beholden to powers that are destructive. If we exchange the worship of the living God for worship of other things or powers, then we have fallen into idolatry. And so often the consequences of idolatry are disastrous, both on a personal level, but even more so as a community and society. How much violence, how much pain, suffering, and injustice is caused when humans adore the stars of this world and set their hearts on what is not eternal. Only you, O God, are holy, good, and true. Only in you do we really see the eternal. We can only avoid idolatry if we are focused on the living God as revealed in creation, Israel's history, and most specifically in the person of Jesus Christ. Prayers of adoration therefore give us direction. That's why I thought the reading from the letter of Jude was also pertinent. It reminds Christians to keep praying in the Holy Spirit so that we are kept in God's love. And through that, we ourselves and those around us are saved from the corruption of idolatry, particularly from giving human things eternal importance. The letter ends in unrestrained praise of God, who has redeemed us and accepts us into his glorious presence. And so I think before ending this sermon in praise, I just want to remind you that the Bible itself does not see prayers of adoration as a task which we are required to do, even though we really do not want to do it, but rather as an invitation to spend time in God's presence, to savor the goodness of God, so that we can see the world with a new perspective. Adoration is not so much a duty, but a joy when we join all creation in worship. Therefore, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.